joining us as he does every Saturday at 10 o'clock. One of our favorite contributors, Mr. Outdoors, hunting, fishing, you name it. He does it all. Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Terry, let's just record that and play that one every time. That was fantastic.
We've been good to you all year this year.
You have. Let's see how long the streak lasts, but I like that. I try to live up to the name. I try to take advantage of every outdoor opportunity you can possibly have.
And you know what? All kidding aside, Nate, you are a true well-rounded outdoorsman. You hunt, you fish, you pour yourself into it, and that's why you're such a tremendous resource to the show, even if most of the time I give you a hard time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I know we're going to talk ice fishing, Nate, and I don't want to get off on a political topic right now, but people need to be aware of the mountain lion thing, don't they?
Absolutely, Terry. You know, it's one of these things that we don't talk about that much. I try not to use any power of our, persuasion. We want people to kind of, educate themselves, make, good decisions with that. But predators in Colorado is a serious thing. Our bear population is skyrocketing. Our lion population is skyrocketing. We have wolves. There's just a lot of it out there. And it's so awesome to be in a state with such a thriving elk and deer population. And I don't think anybody realizes, especially on the lion side of things, how, I don't want to say devastating, but how good of a hunter a lion is. For somebody who has, big game hounds, I do a lot of mountain lion hunting. I have hounds. I'm very involved in the lion sport. And it's unbelievable when you actually start looking for them, start understanding them, and you really get into the lion world, how many lions we have here in Colorado. The population is thriving, and without the various use and techniques of hunting them, they are very hard to hunt, and really controlling that population is a major part of conservation. You think about an animal that is harvesting a deer-sized animal. So the average lion is harvesting a deer-sized animal on average every 4.3 days was the last U.S. Fish and Wildlife survey that was done here, and a lot of people know that stat. So you talk about a hunter who is unbelievably successful, and it's not that the lions know which animals to go for. People talk about this. They say, our deer population is thriving. It's not a big deal. But if you look at the average lion kill, you can approach, or a lion, I should say, can approach a group of does, and there's 10, 15 eyes, and it's hard for the lion to hunt. But all of a sudden, in a post-rut situation in winter like it is right now, all of these big bucks are worn down. They're tired. They've been rutting hard, and they're alone. So that's usually the animal that these lions are deprivating on. So it's unbelievable how these lions are having a major impact on the mature bucks, the breeding animals. And again, it's just passion. I encourage everybody, I'm not telling you what to do. Just educate yourself on it. And whether you agree or disagree with certain things, you have to look at the big picture in these regards of conservation and what needs to happen with our population management, for sure.
I couldn't agree more, Nate. Let's switch up now. Ice fishing, things are actually stabilizing, both the mountains and the Front Range. All obviously conditions are going to change as we get snow and off again weather. But what are you seeing out there right now?
Yeah, Terry, we got a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, the mountains are strengthening up, which is good. The whole Granby area, they have a major tournament coming up next week, and we have our ice addiction event at Grand Lake. And it was, Terry, it was slow-forming ice up in like that area, in that Middle Park area. Then we had snow on top of it, which slows things down. But we're finally getting some really good ice in that Granby, Grand Lake, Shadow Mountain area, so we're excited about that. And then the South Park lakes are very strong. So very good ice, very good condition. So all the mountains now are pretty much good to go, to where even though we were decent in the last couple weeks, we're getting a lot safer, just a lot better conditions up there. So we're excited about that. Then probably the biggest thing that my phone is blowing up on the most, the biggest questions we're getting, is the Front Range ice. And obviously, so many anglers, whether it's for the availability of being close to home, whether it's the opportunity at some walleyes, but the Chatfield Cherry Creek fisheries, a lot of anglers want to take advantage of that. And those ice conditions are stable. Now, with it, anytime we're looking at the Front Range, it's one of those things that it's iffy. And even on a great winter, you still got to watch the Front Range. We have a ton of water flowing into these bodies of water. You have, various weather. It's just one of those things that doesn't grow a ton of ice. So right now, Chatfield, Cherry Creek, there are anglers on these bodies of water. The ice thicknesses do vary. Neither one of these fisheries froze at the same time. So you have conditions still on these lakes that you have, you know, 3 to 4 inches of ice in some areas and 6 to even 7 inches in other places. So, you know, checking the ice frequently, carrying the spud bar. I know we keep ranting about safety, but the Front Range definitely has not had any major cold fronts to where it's really locked things up to where you can, you know, start being a little more, you know, careless when walking. With the current conditions, you have to be on top of it, but the walleye bite is strong. The bass bite is strong. We're catching a ton of rainbows and even some panfish, perch and crappie. So the bite on the Front Range is good. I actually just off the phone with Dustin Sigler. He's been out there yesterday, today, tomorrow, and he is just pounding on some walleye. So the conditions are good. With that, one of the things I do want to encourage anglers to use caution with, they are adding quite a bit of water to Chatfield. So Chatfield has quite a bit of water coming into it. So the water is rising. So anytime we have hot, sunny days, your shoreline is the first to go. When you add rising water, it definitely affects that. So right now at Chatfield, you know, we have good ice on the body of water, but those shorelines get a little soft. So use caution as you, you know, approach and get onto the ice, you know, wearing muck boots type thing to get to that first, you know, 6-7 feet of the ice, and then you're on that good ice. So use caution there. With the rising water, though, we have high oxygen levels, which is great for fishing, and we also have some stained water, which a lot of anglers hear the word stained water, and they immediately kind of, you know, say, oh, let's not go there. But when you talk about extremely picky walleyes in the winter, which everybody will agree, a walleye is finicky. They're just hard to catch. They're easy to find, just a little bit harder to coax into taking the bait. When you have a little bit of stained water and you start using blade baits and lipless crank baits and rattle baits, these fish are a lot easier, in my opinion, to catch in that dirty water. So some anglers are complaining about the dirtier water at Chapel as they put some water into it. I love it. High oxygen, stained water. I think it's easier to catch these fish. So excited about that. And then Cherry Creek is very stable in those regards as well.
Yeah, you know, a couple points I want to get back to, too, that really, first of all, you mentioned walleye time and technique. I'll get back to that in just a minute. But we always talk about first ice and last ice. And I was having the same conversation with some people up in the mountains earlier in the show. And that's the fact that we always see good oxygen levels and really active fish at first ice. That's why it's one of the best times, because you, as the ice starts to freeze, you can't fish them by boat or shore. So the fish get not as pressured, less molested for quite a period of time. With what we've seen going on with the ice, the time it's taken to form this season, I think we have a lot of fish that haven't been pressured much. So I'm thinking we're almost like first ice conditions for this time of the year. Does that make sense? Is that what you're saying?
It does. Absolutely. I do agree with that. You know, and people don't realize how much angling pressure does put on the fish. I mean, these fish get used to it. They see the presentation. They do somewhat get used to, or, you know, seasoned to angling pressure. And with that lacking pressure and kind of how the ice is formed, I agree. There is a lot of opportunity. The biggest thing I'm actually seeing that on is pike, believe it or not. I know we keep talking about the Front Range and the late ice there, but the pike are probably one of the biggest fish that I see really losing interest around all that pressure. And so far, we're having a great pike season. I usually target pike, you know, the first week of ice, and then I leave them alone pretty much until spring, and I hit them really hard in February, March, even in April. And so far, we have a really strong pike fight going on that is exactly what you said. It reminds me of early ice kind of carrying out throughout the winter because of the lack of pressure. So it's been exciting to see that for sure. And we'll see what happens, you know, and everything affects this. You know, a lot of snow on the ice can kind of lower those oxygen levels, and obviously angling pressure, and there's so much that affects these fish in the winter. But with it all being said, you know, right now things are good. Embrace it while it's good. Catch the fish, and time will tell what starts happening here.
And other question I had that went along with which was the Front Range walleyes. Now, typically, as you said, the walleyes, especially Chatfield and Cherry Creek, because they can have such big shad populations, there's so much to eat that the walleyes can be picky and very time sensitive. So a lot of times it's twilight hours, it's very precise techniques. With the walleyes, are you seeing it just twilight hours? Is there a daytime bite? And what type of techniques are you using to trigger them?
Absolutely. You know, I would say it's still that twilight hours. It's still early in the morning, later in the evening. If I had to pick your key times, it's 5:30 a.m. to about 8:30 a.m., and that's that peak window in the morning. Afternoons, I'm trying to drill my holes by about 3:30, and I'm catching fish till about 6:30, and those fish start to spin. So definitely those peak 3-4 hours in the morning and evening. As far as techniques, I mean, the fish are very open to quite a bit. I mean, spoons, your blade baits and all of that. But if I had to be very specific just to help all of our listeners out, if I was at Chatfield, I would fish spoons, which honestly is rare for me. Everybody that knows me know I'm all about the jig and wraps, the blade baits. I'm more reaction. But right now, a wider wobbling spoon is probably my go-to technique. And you can honestly use things that are never designed as a jigging spoon. I mean, right now, like a daredevil type spoon or a flashy time spoon. Those are the spoons that are getting attention right now. So, you know, silvers, blues, a lot of color, a lot of metallics. But Chatfield, I am all about a spoon bite. I'm hitting bottom, and I'm really focusing on that lower foot in the water column. And that's been my key there. Cherry Creek, it's all about a glide bait. When we say glide baits, we're talking about jigging wraps, Kika minnows. More that minnow-style bait kind of hovers flat, swims in a circle. And probably the big thing at Cherry Creek that we're seeing is we're starting the fish on the bottom, but we're catching these fish all the way up to halfway up in the water column, which a lot of walleye anglers don't do. They don't take advantage of those suspended fish. So we're hitting bottom, jigging bottom. The walleyes come in. If they don't take the bait fairly quick, we are then working that bait, taking it away from them, making the fish engage, make the fish work a little bit, and it creates that reaction, and that's what's producing those fish there. So Cherry Creek is about those glide baits, those minnow baits, but the biggest thing is do not be afraid to work these fish higher in the water column at Creek. Again, it's been producing fish. So many people are used to these walleyes coming in, looking at the bait, and never taking it. Make the fish work for it, create some reaction, you know, energy, and that's how we're catching those fish up in the water column there.
Last thing, what are you seeing up in the Mo Mountains and any kokanee going on?
You know, absolutely. The kokanee bite, we target them at 11 mile, and it is going good. I actually start here in about a week. I start doing a majority of my kokanee trips, but we're doing good. Those fish seem to be gathered, and you've heard us talk about it, but with kokanee, you know, all of our fisheries have a decent kokanee population. You know, they kind of go up and down with the gill lice. Right now, 11 mile is sitting really strong with the gill lice. We're on a good population of kokanee, and on a bad winter, it's not that you don't have enough fish, it's that the fish spread out. Right now, those fish seem to be gathered up pretty hard, feeding on plankton, so it's going good. I'm targeting most of my fish in the main channel, and my key spots right now are kind of between the North Shore Marina and basically like Coyote Ridge. So it's pretty much center lake, and that entire stretch right there, maybe 3/4 of a mile in the river channel, is where those kokanee are coming through. I'm doing it very traditional. So I'm using a jigging machine, which is creating a lot of flash, which, you know, basically looks like plankton. So those fish are coming into that jigging machine, but high flashy baits. Those fish are about 15 to 45 feet below the surface, over anywhere between like 55 and 80 feet of water. But those fish are coming through good. So if you're a kokanee angler, I definitely think a good option for these fish is hitting 11 mile right now. And the bite's been good. And the way that the plankton gather as everything stabilizes in the winter, that bite is good now. And it's only going to get better all the way up until we get into March.
Last question before I have to let you go is, sometimes we talk about the great bites and the big fish. We talk about Antero. We talk about 11 mile. What about something like Terryall, where maybe the average angler can go and have a little bit better chance of success? What do you see in there?
Actually, you know, Terryall is fishing really good. It has been getting quite a bit of pressure, but it is still good. It seems like the technique there is fishing very low in the water column and, you know, really moving the bait at a minimal stage. So very slower action on your jigging cadence, not catching those fish. But honestly, right now, 11 mile seems to be fishing very good. So out of Witcher's Cove is fishing very good. Right in the North Shore Marina at 11 mile. If I was just looking to get out and catch some fish, Terryall is usually my go-to, but right now I would probably send you over to 11 mile. 11 mile is producing a lot of just good fish, but probably the biggest thing of that is the fact that we're seeing some big fish moving through too. So not only are you catching a bunch of fish, but you get some big ones mixed in. So we're very excited about that. And, you know, it's crazy, Dave. We're here on the radio giving the fishing report, and I see a game-changing fish. Well, I'm at Ice Addiction here in Utah, and this angler is hugging a giant trout coming to the scale. We're about to see a major turn of event here at the event right now. It's pretty exciting when they're on the radio when that happens.
All right, we will let you go, but tell us how they can take part in your events or book a trip?
Absolutely. You know, you can jump on our website, tightlineoutdoors.com, and in between all of our events and guiding, Dustin and Josh, said that they are taking advantage of all the basically information on our guide trips on our Facebook page. I'm posting about all the events. We got a lot of stuff happening, but Tightline Outdoors on Facebook as well as the website. We'll get you dialed in.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Go check that fish.
Thanks.
All right. Nate Zielinski, always a great resource. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to change things up. And our dog trainer, Ben Garcia, is going to tell us the things you do training your dog as a puppy that come back to haunt you. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.